Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In our system of government, to step down from office over unproved allegations would create a new level of vulnerability to government officials that would be chaotic for the people of this state or anyone else to endure.
Who says he can't draw a crowd? Governor Patterson the other day. And now another view of the current crisis and deeper dysfunction in Albany from one who wants to be in charge of it. Republican gubernatorial hopeful and former Long Island Congressman Rick Lazio. He joins us at really a bizarre time in the gubernatorial election year when there is no declared Democratic Party candidate. Mr. Lazio, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thank you, Brian. Great to be on again. And just to clarify, I'm not looking to be in charge of the dysfunction.
Well, you would inherit it and be in charge of it, at least at the first moment.
Right.
Now, let's see. Do I have it right that you had been defending Governor Patterson when he was still considering running for re-election? Now you're calling on him to resign?
Well, I've been calling for fair play here. I've been calling for David Patterson to be given the opportunity to govern without being undermined by rumor and innuendo, which dominates the state capitol these days. I think the issues are so important right now for the people of New York that the government needs to get focused on the issues that are relevant to the average citizen. And right now, the Capitol is dominated by scandal and rumor and, say, innuendo. I believe now, as more information has come out, David Patterson's position is, in fact, weakened. I do believe that he is in a position where he can describe clearly to the public what he said, who he said it to, and when he said it, and if he feels as though this would be exculpatory, if he feels as though this would clear his name, then he needs to do that.
He says he can't talk publicly while the investigation is going on and legal questions are in play. Do you disagree with that?
I disagree with that, yes. I think as a public leader, there is no legal prohibition for David Patterson to step forward and to explain what happened. And I think he needs to do that because he's in a public position of trust and because he's leading the state right now through the most difficult fiscal crisis in our state's history, and people need to have confidence in him. And every day that goes by that the governor does not explain what his role was, exactly what he said, who he said it to, when he said it, what his role was in terms of indirect orders to contact different people, is a day that he loses political capital
so
and credibility.
It's resign or defend yourself is your position.
I think that's about where I am in the sense that David Patterson needs to make a decision that puts the people first. And there may come a time if he does not step up and explain where he is, where he just does not have the political capital and credibility to govern the state. And he's going to make a decision that is selfless in that case to perhaps step aside and let Dick Ravitch step into that role. But I do think that there's still an opportunity for David Patterson to explain himself and defend himself publicly in a very clear, precise, factual way, and he has not done that yet.
My guest, Rick Lazio, Republican gubernatorial hopeful in New York. And listeners, our phones are still open for you and our comments page, of course. Should Andrew Cuomo recuse himself from investigating the governor and anything else you want to say about the New York state of affairs? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or online, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for our comments page. So, Rick Lazio, what's your reaction to the clip of the governor that we just played? I don't know if you were able to hear it. It did have a little bit of noisy sound quality. But he said to step down from office over unproven allegations would create a level of vulnerability for government officials that would be chaotic for the people. Do you want unproven allegations to be the baseline for you staying in office if you're elected governor?
No, in fact, that's in fact what I have been saying about some of these rumors and allegations that have been going on for weeks, undermining David Pattison. But I do think now that there are some facts that are out in the public domain. There have been reports, and David Pattison now is in a position where he can set the record straight. The standard of conduct for a public official cannot be whether you can be indicted. It's got to be a higher standard than that. And in Albany, which is increasingly, I think, seen by the rest of the nation, very sadly, as having a culture of corruption, we need to get past this, and we need to get past this quickly. We are hemorrhaging jobs. We're hemorrhaging people. We have fiscal chaos. We can't balance budgets. It's an absolute train wreck in Albany, and the people of New York need and deserve better. Investors who want to invest in their businesses to expand and create jobs are not going to do that in this type of environment.
We were talking earlier about some politicians calling on Andrew Cuomo to recuse himself from investigating Pattison because of his presumed interest in running for governor himself. Do you think he should recuse himself?
Without a doubt, it is inappropriate, and I say this as a former prosecutor myself, for Andrew Cuomo, who has expressed a commitment to run for governor to his big donors, to his money people, for months. He's been campaigning effectively, with at least on the money circuit, for months. And who knows whether or not he or his agents have been behind some of the rumors and articles involving David Pattison. You know, I think it casts doubt about whether or not Andrew Cuomo, given his partisan political ambitions here, is in a position to, in an unbiased way, determine what the facts are and issue a report or recommendation. I mean, just by way of example.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Just by way of example, again, you know, he will be in a position to determine potentially whether or not a criminal referral will be made, or whether a grand jury should be impaneled. And that's an awful lot of leverage over somebody else whose job you want.
Let's take a call on this point from Alan in Queens. Alan, thanks a lot for calling.
Yes, how are you?
Okay. What do you think?
Well, I think that it doesn't matter if Cuomo continues the investigation, because Pattison's not running again. It's a march. It's a no-brainer. He has nothing to win. He has nothing to win.
So thank you, Alan. And Rick Lazio, he is not in a rival position anymore with David Pattison. Does that not, remove any conflict of interest?
No, it doesn't. I mean, David Pattison is still in a position where he can help or hinder Andrew Cuomo in succeeding him. And the reality is, you know, that there is going to be a perception on the part of many people that there is a bias here, and there is an incentive for a particular outcome. I just don't think the people of New York need that. It can be easily rectified by just appointing somebody who is, you know, whose ethics are beyond reproach, who is unbiased, who is not involved in any of these scenarios, just to properly investigate these allegations. It would be the most appropriate thing, and it would take everybody's, it would remove from consideration the fact that there are political dimensions to either the investigation or the recommendations.
Now, at this point, Andrew Cuomo can be called the most likely governor in waiting in our heavily Democratic state, blue state of New York. How will you start convincing voters, if you're the Republican nominee, that you're better prepared to run the state than he is?
First of all, Brian, I believe that my public sector experience and my private sector experience, you know, I've been a prosecutor, I've been a local legislator, I've been a four-term member of Congress, and I've been in the private sector for the last 10 years. I think that equips me well to help turn the state around, number one. Number two is I desperately think that people want somebody from outside of Albany, outside the culture, not somebody who knows all those inside players. I mean, every special interest group that dominates and controls Albany these days has funded Andrew Cuomo's campaign. How is he going to take on these interest groups to turn this state around? The state has got a $50 billion three-year deficit. It is so deep and so broad that it is daunting to have to dig out from under. And it's
how would you start to close it? How specific are you willing to get?
I'm saying I think everything has got to be on the table when you're looking at a deficit this large. I didn't create the deficit, but it's my goal and my commitment to close it and balance our budgets and live within our means and grow this state again. And I would begin by like say putting everything on the table, and it's got to start with Medicaid, which is the largest part of the budget at $44 billion. It's larger than the entire state budgets of 42 different states. It's larger than 20% larger than California's, and they've got twice the population. And last time I checked, they had a fair amount of poverty in urban areas and everything else. So what we need to do is to get better price signals. I think we move all of it to managed care, which is exactly what most working people have these days. I think we need to focus on primary care, nurse practitioners, preventative diseases. I think we need to harmonize our reimbursement rates because there's wild differentials between reimbursements for providers, for doctors and hospitals in the same towns and the same cities. You might have not 10 or 15% difference between a procedure, but maybe 2 or 300% difference by procedure. I would take with the people who are called the dual eligible. These are people who are both Medicare and Medicaid eligible. They're seniors for the most part who are also lower income. And I would ask for a federal waiver so we can have a joint program, and that would mean one application for a caregiver, making life a lot easier for people in need, and we would be able to offload expenses to the federal government that are rightfully theirs. So I've got lots of ideas. I think we need to means test, candidly, home care, and I think people who've got the ability to pay have to pay, and I think we need to get after fraud, which some estimates are as much as $5 billion, a huge amount of money off of a $44 billion Medicaid program. So I think those are some of the ideas.
Thank you. We have one more call to take for Rick Lazio, Republican gubernatorial hopeful. And coming up next will be Lloyd Constantine, who is a top aide to Governor Spitzer and has a very revealing new book, including why Mr. Constantine encouraged Spitzer not to resign over the prostitution scandal. And he'll have some observations, I'm sure, about the present situation. Lloyd Constantine coming up next. But Cheshire in Queens, you're on WNYC with Rick Lazio. Hello.
Hello. Here's my question, Mr. Lazio.
Yes, sir.
You're elected. You say to Shelley Silver, this is it. Change is coming to this dysfunctional system. And Shelley Silver says, well, it works for me. I've seen governors come and go. I know every lever of power in this system. And if I don't want change, it doesn't happen. How do you overcome that?
Cheshire, it is the $64,000 question as to whether the public will send a strong enough message this election so that there's a sense of mandate and that the members that elect Shelley Silver and keep him in power feel as though they need to react to the will of the broader public or ignore it at their own jeopardy. I mean, there's certainly a lot of things that the governor can do, and I will do, to drive down the cost of government. And, you know, those things are the first things that we will approach, including, reducing the amount of political appointees, and soon after the new governor gets sworn in, there's a number of public employee contracts that are up for renegotiation, and those contracts need to reflect their fiscal reality that we're in right now.
Of course, this has been the Waterloo for both Patterson and Spitzer. I mean, separate from the personal scandals, neither of them could crack the legislature. You would come in as a Republican, presumably with a Democratic legislature, at least a Democratic assembly. And so it's a high wall to climb for any governor, right?
Yeah, I would say two things about that, though, Brian and Cheshire. One is I think the magnitude of the crisis really does force action, and I will do everything I can to make sure that action is responsible budget balancing action, that we do this in a fair and responsible and thoughtful way, number one. Number two, if I can just briefly say, you know, as a former legislator myself, federal legislator that served both in the minority and the majority, and has gotten legislation passed even under politically disadvantageous positions when we were in the minority, I also have a respect for a co-equal branch of government, and I feel like there's a majority of legislators in both parties who really don't want to be thought of as crooks and bums, who want to really get the job done, don't want to let the people down. I also think that after being elected, I need to be on the road and continue to make this case in individual legislators' districts why responsible action mm-hmm. is absolutely required.
All right. The velvet glove would replace the steamroller, I think I hear you to say. On your way out, can we do a quick checklist of some other issues before you go?
Sure.
Yes or no answers. The sugary drinks tax, yes or no?
No. I think if you're going to start taxing sugar, why don't you tax candy, cupcakes, you know, tax sugar
okay.
itself.
Would you sign a gay marriage bill were the legislature to pass one?
No, for civil unions, but not for marriage.
Free Metro cards for school kids?
If we can balance that MTA budget, it certainly should be a goal.
First priority?
A high priority.
And do you support eminent domain for Atlantic Yards?
I'd say yes, but the qualified yes, and that I need to look at that plan more carefully to make sure that this is being done in a way that is it doesn't undermine the historic neighborhood of the in the area.
Republican gubernatorial hopeful Rick Lazio, always appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much, Brian. And coming up next, Lloyd Constantine, who was a top aide to Governor Spitzer and has a very revealing new book, including why Mr. Constantine encouraged Mr. Spitzer not to resign over the prostitution scandal. And I'm sure he'll have some observations on the current moment. I can just about guarantee it'll be worth sticking around to hear Lloyd Constantine. Stay tuned.